Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, November the 18th. You know, we're just a day away from the celebration of the Gettysburg Address. This would be number 156. So I'm going to be posting a show that we did a few years ago with Frank Burke, where Frank actually read the Declaration of Independence. The Gettysburg Address. And I think you're going to enjoy that a great deal. Great speech, and great reading by our friend Frank Burke. We're going to talk a little bit about impeachment. This whole impeachment thing is, I think, it's just blowing up in the faces of the Democrats. And the biggest reason it is they don't have any impeachable evidence. I mean, you can say whatever you want about President Trump, but there's nothing to impeach him on, which is what this is apparently supposed to do. Also, Michael Bloomberg is apparently in. I'm not sure he's officially said that he's in, but he's doing something very stupid. He's already pandering to the left, and I think he's making a big mistake. But let's talk a little bit about impeachment, because, you know, this is not really an impeachment hearing. This is not a formal impeachment hearing. To do that, you would have to go to the House and have an up and down vote on impeachment, much the same way, if you remember, during the Clinton presidency, when there was a vote in the House to begin the formal impeachment proceedings, and it voted, you know, up and down, and that was the beginning of it. That's not really what we have here. What we have here is so-called investigation, and what the Democrats are hoping, I guess, is that they get this thing started, they put out some information out there, then some Democrats, some Republicans, sort of panic a little bit, and hopefully then they can run to President Trump and say, look, you need to resign because public opinion is against you. That's what they're kind of hoping. And that may be what they're hoping. I don't deny that. But the problem is that if you're going to have an impeachment of a president of the United States, well, you better have some impeachable offenses. And what we've heard so far, the first one was a Mr. Taylor, who is an ambassador. I've seen him on television before. You know, he comes across as a very respectful man, very intelligent man. I'm sure he's been a great diplomat. I have nothing negative to say about the man. But he didn't hear the phone call. So when they ask him, did you hear the phone call? Did you listen to it? No, I didn't. I heard about it from somebody else. Okay. Then they have this other witness, this lady who used to be the ambassador to Ukraine, and the same thing. Are you the ambassador of Ukraine or to Ukraine right now? No, I'm not. Did you hear the conversation? No, I didn't. So how did you hear about this? Well, I heard from somebody, So the whole thing is nothing but hearsay evidence, as they like to say in the Perry Mason show. Those of you who remember Perry Mason, I'm sure you remember hearsay evidence. And, of course, what that means is something that somebody told me that somebody told me that somebody told me. Look, if you're going to impeach a president of the United States, you've got to have a higher standard than that. You got to have either a transcript or somebody who was there, more than one person actually who was there, who said, well, that transcript is not correct or that transcript was doctored or whatever. None of that exists here. All we have is hearsay. And I think this is all going to blow up in their faces. Now, apparently there's going to be more people coming this week, but usually you put your toughest people first, or your best people first, just to at least create attention. Well, they didn't really do that the last time. Those were not their better people. So who comes next? I don't know. Judging by the television audience on the second day, I don't think a lot of Americans are excited about this. And I've heard Democrats on the record say that, hey, look, you know, we came here to get things done. We came here to work on the business of the American people, not to impeach President Trump just because we don't like him. And I think that's the key. The way this is coming across is a rather partisan thing. You know, we're going to get Trump. We're going to get Trump. We're going to get Trump. We want to get Trump. And I just think that is a very bad excuse for an impeachment proceeding. If you have evidence that Donald Trump broke the law, that he did something illegal, let me see it. Look, put it out there. Put it out there. Let the whole country see it. In fact, bring in Republicans into your room and say, or into your office and say, look, this is what we got here, guys. You know, this is impeachable stuff. But that's not what they're doing. That's not what they're doing. What they're doing is engaging in a purely partisan circus. And I just think Americans expect better of their government. So, you know, I was on Telemundo, or Univision, I should say, Univision on Sunday, and I said that this is all of this impeachment thing is helping Donald Trump get reelected. And I really believe that. I really believe that. I think it's time for some of these people in the left to tone it down and just put up their alternatives. I mean, put up their policy alternatives rather than just trying to get Trump. It's not going to work. Getting Trump is not going to work this way. Believe me, not going to work. Well, the other story that I want to touch on today is Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, businessman, the creator of the Bloomberg media empire, a very successful business. This is a very successful businessman. And when he said that he was running, you may recall that I said that if he ran as an independent, he could actually be a challenge to President Trump. I mean, if he was an independent running against President Trump and whoever the Democrats put up, he could. I mean, it could be a race between Trump and Bloomberg, because the Democrats, frankly, don't have any serious candidate they can put up. And I said so because I felt that this was a serious man. Bloomberg is a serious man. I don't agree with everything that he says, but he's a serious guy. But now he's pandering to the left. And the way he's doing it is by walking back some of the police policies that, first of all, he inherited from Mayor Giuliani. He kept in place and expanded police policies that reduced crime in New York City substantially. I mean, New York City was a mess when Rudy Giuliani became mayor in 1993. And he turned that city around in so many ways. Just talk to anybody who lives there. And then Michael Bloomberg followed him, and he kept the same policies, at least with respect to the police. And the city was very safe. Now, of course, they have a mayor who is a left-wing wacko, who is just, what else can you say? I mean, Mayor de Blasio is a joke. So Michael Bloomberg, in order to appease the left wing of the party, decided to go in front of a bunch of people and apologize for the strategies that the police or that he had overseen during that time. And what a mistake that is. What a mistake it is on the part of Michael Bloomberg. First of all, he shouldn't apologize. It was a very successful policy to stop crime. What's he apologizing about? And if there were some mistakes that were made, as there would be, I mean, anytime you execute a policy, you're going to have mistakes. If there were mistakes, we'll deal with them on a one-by-one basis. But don't throw out the whole policy because you're pandering to the left of the Democrat Party. Now he's starting to pander, saying it was a mistake, and he's apologizing and all of that. Well, unfortunately, I think he just shot himself in the foot, because he's starting to sound like any other Democrat. I mean, what made Bloomberg interesting and potentially a strong candidate against President Trump is the fact that he didn't sound like all the other Democrats, that he had a different strategy, that he was different. Well, that's not the case anymore. He's starting to sound like Beto, and obviously that's not a winning strategy. So there goes Michael Bloomberg. There goes his candidacy. He's not going to go anywhere pandering to the left. As I said before, he needs to get out. He needs to run as an independent, and he needs to stop. You know, he needs to talk about the successes that he had as mayor of New York City, stopping crime, and so on. But he's apparently decided to do the opposite. He's going to pander to the left, like all these other candidates are doing, and that's not helping any of them. Believe me, it's not helping any of them. Let's take a little time here, just a second here. Let me tell you about my friend Carlos Geddes, who is a musician here in the Dallas area. We play his music on the show, and we have a link on the show information, so you can check out Carlos wherever he is around the Dallas area. So if you're coming to Dallas, check it out, and go eat some music and listen to the music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. Hear a little bit of his music. The music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. We have a link to his website and his schedule. Check it out and see if you have a few minutes to listen to him the next time you're going out for dinner or lunch here in the Dallas area. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, tomorrow the 19th will be the 156th anniversary of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow, as well as I'm going to post, as I mentioned, a show that I did with Frank Burke a few years ago, where Frank read the address, and I think you're going to enjoy it a great deal. We also remember today, 1999. This is truly a tragedy. Every year at Texas A&M, they have a bonfire for Thanksgiving, and they make this gigantic bonfire, and it's a big tradition there, one that has brought the students together for decades. Well, unfortunately, on this day in 1999, there was an accident. The thing collapsed, and about 20 students were killed, including a young man from our area here, Michael Ebank, just a wonderful young man who was a freshman at Texas A&M. We happened to know his family very well, and what a great tragedy. I remember hearing the news about the collapse, and then getting home and finding out that one of the young people who was killed is a young man who went to our church. So terrible tragedy. It's hard to believe it was 20 years ago, but we send our salute and our prayers to Michael's mom and dad, two wonderful people here in the North Texas area. Well, down in Cuba, they are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the city of Havana. In one way, it's kind of hard for me to believe that the city of Havana, the last place that I lived in before I came to the United States, before leaving Cuba, I should say, a city of Havana, is 500 years old. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe, but it is. It was founded in 1519, of course, by the Spanish. It became, in many ways, the hub of the Spanish colonial empire. The ships would come from Spain. They would stop in Cuba, and Cuba became, like Havana, became sort of the important location where everything sort of came and went through Havana. That's where the colonial government had its headquarters. And the city is celebrating 500 years. And, of course, this is happening at a time when the current government has literally destroyed Cuba, and especially destroyed Havana, one of the most elegant cities in the world in the 1950s. I mean, just absolutely beautiful and elegant city. You should see some of the videos, but 500 years, and these people, these communists, have just destroyed Cuba and destroyed the elegance of what was once one of the most beautiful cities in the world, the city of Havana. I have a post over at the American Thinker today about Al Sharpton, how Al Sharpton is doing quite well these days financially. He makes a lot of money. Gets a lot of money from his foundation or his charity, whatever he wants to call it. And I tell you, the Trump economy has been very good to Al Sharpton. And, I've never understood why he needs to make $1 million a year. Just have never understood that. Why does he need that kind of money? I mean, why does a guy like Al Sharpton need to make $1 million a year? I'd never understood that. This is supposed to be, he's supposed to be like the number one guy, the self-appointed spokesman for everybody who's got a grievance, and he's making $1 million a year. Sounds to me like he's doing pretty good, carrying all these grievances around. Al Sharpton, never liked him, never have. I don't think he's a real person. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.